When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. All right, you want to talk Nakato at 62 points or Dan Hollins and maybe you brought points. Some stats.
Welcome to the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, your premier North American rugby podcast. Growing rugby, one fan at a time.
And welcome, Rugby Rant fans. This is Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, and I am here with one of my very close friends. We've developed a very close relationship, especially over the last probably 4 or 5 years, and we share our passion and love for rugby. I'm here with none other than David Fee. Fiasco, how's it going? Thanks for taking some time to share it with us here at the Rugby Rant.
Yeah, happy to be here. You know, usually it's not just the two of us, but happy to share some alone time with the Hammer. Congrats to you on the NOLA telecast in the inaugural weekend here for the MLR. I'm just on the heels of coming back from the LA Sevens, and I had a chance to catch the first matching out in LA as well, too. So, again, coming back earlier this morning, but great to be here with you.
Thanks, mate. It's always a pleasure, and, you know, I suppose we could spoon or cuddle later on, just, you know, as a part of that to put a you know, cap on it. But nevertheless, we're going to get into it, fans. I think there's a lot to talk about here. Dave is going to share quite a bit about the last year that he's been through involved in rugby. I will tell you one thing. I don't know how his wife deals with it. Two young kids at home in lots of things, gymnastics and soccer, et cetera. And yet he still finds time to give back so much to the rugby community. And I want to talk just a moment about that, go through his CV. So for those that don't know, David Fee, he's, of course, he started off at Lake Forest. I think you were a soccer player, if I'm not mistaken, and the football team kind of recruited you over to kick some field goals, or isn't that right?
Yep.
And then from there, the rugby guys over there kind of got eyes on you a little bit, right? And he, by the way, Lake Forest College Athletic Hall of Fame member right there for all of his endeavors. So, you know, he may have the dad bod today, but back then, super stud. Lake County RFC, really where he started killing it, Southside Irish. Then he went out to California because there were some greater things on the horizon, played with Back Bay, played with the Chicago Lions, and then he became a U.S. Eagle. Number 319, got his first cap against Canada. Second cap, notably, I attended here in the United States, in Chicago at UIC's field. That was a scorcher right there. A lot of fun. And of course, also played for USA Sevens. So he has had one hell of a playing career. And we have to say, also a member of one of probably the best performing Rugby World Cup teams from the United States. Had a heck of a campaign in 2003 and had some, I mean, that names on that list are filled with some absolute studs. But we're here to talk about this stud right here. Then he transitioned to coaching. We're going to get into this. Brother Rice coached into both a state and national championship in 2012. IU is coaching both the sevens and 15 side. Can't say enough for what he's done for both IU and Notre Dame in terms of developing their college programs. They are on the map in part because of this man. Southside Irish coach, Chicago Lions coach, also coached the Chicago Lions women. We'll get into that in a bit. And of course, PR70s both coach with the experts and loonies. USA current USA 18, U18 sevens coach took those lads down there to New Zealand for the World Schools Sevens Championships. And if we haven't said enough, because I think I've consumed, yeah, we're at 4 minute mark right now, and I still haven't let him speak more than 30 seconds, traveled and was involved with the USA U23 sevens team down there in the Pan Ams. Whew. Man, that's a lot, my brother.
I think that resume just made me sound old more than anything. a lot of kind words, but old, I think, if nothing else, but appreciate it for sure.
No, you built a lot of that into the last number of years, especially. But let's get into the.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
First question. We're not doing an RPK here. I think our agenda is a little bit different. We want to give folks at home an idea of what's going on with Dave, but more specifically, and especially in USA Sevens, because we're hot into the HSBC Sevens right now. And I think we need to give it its due here at the Rugby Ramp. So let me first open up just again, so people have an understanding context of where you come from and how you got involved in coaching. So how did you transition from being a player in that environment, high performance environment, to being a coach?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a great question. When I finished playing, I believe it was right before the 2007 World Cup, I had a shoulder injury and, stepped away from the game right around then. And, was looking at what I was going to do professionally and really stepped away from rugby. And it was a phone call from our good friend, Scott Lawrence, who's now obviously doing great things with our men's senior national team. And, he actually encouraged me and wanted me to get back into coaching and asked if it was something that I would be interested in. And I'm so grateful and thankful that I agreed to it. So I was able to assist him with some early teams with, the U18s and U20 programs early on and get a sniff of it. And it was something that I absolutely, loved doing and loved being able to give back. And it was just something I continued to do. And so, he recommended I continue to coach. So I looked for opportunities here locally back in Chicago and was able to do that with the high school game and then moved on. I had friends, throughout the area. And Sean O'Leary gave me an opportunity at the University of Notre Dame. Continued my involvement with some of the age grade national teams with the 18s, et cetera. A lot of those guys like Bryce Campbell, as a young 16, 17, 18 year old was at Indiana University at the time and was able to kind of get over there and help out that program too. And again, the rest is kind of history. Just continue to do it, kept my head down, surrounded myself with really good people, learned from, some experts along the way. Have been, again, lucky enough to get integrated into, Mike Friday's camp and, Alex Magleby and guys before him. So, I've just been extremely lucky and, I've enjoyed it and, hopefully have been some, had some successes along the way, which is, why I've been able to stay involved. And again, Mike's head down and there's a lot of people focused on Paris, but I'm kind of thinking about, what's happening next and, stuck in with some of the age grade programs and looking beyond that.
Yeah. And I just got a recap for everybody. I mean, Alex Magleby, CEO of the New England Free Jacks. You got Mike Friday, of course. I mean, he has put USA Sevens on the map and made us world beaters, from time to time. And of course, Scott Lawrence. I mean, that's not a bad lot to hitch your wagon to.
And luckily I was, able to play for guys like Tom Billups and Jack Clark. So, I kind of consider myself in that coaching tree, if you will. And again, lucky to surround myself with some really good people and learn along the way.
Yeah, so there's a coaching tree in rugby too, folks, so just in case you don't know. Let's talk a little bit about 23, because that's part of the reason why I wanted to bring you on. You've had a lot of success in 2023. I think, you know, you almost had a you're like the little leprechaun on the front of the Lucky Charms box. You just, everywhere you went, there was a golden rainbow, and at the end of it was a pot of gold. And for you, women's national sevens champions with the Chicago Lions, was there to witness that. Man, I was just glad to be in your orbit, because it was a tremendous final. Love seeing it. U23 Rugby Town Sevens champions. The U18 World Schools Championship, you guys really had a nice showing there. And the PR Sevens Loonies 2023 champions on the women's side. That's pretty good. What's the next step for you?
Yeah, hopefully stay involved with all those programs. Again, you know, the Chicago Lions women, you know, I think, you know, just to take it back a second, I think, you know, if you're a coach, there's so many times that, you know, you have long drives home and you wonder what you could have done different. You know, again, 2023 just seemed to be one of those years where a lot of things just worked. And again, you know, had great players along the way. And I was only a very small piece in a lot of those. You know, with U23's Colton Coriaga was leading the way. Ben Pinkelman was in camp assisting. Ethan, you know, Pugnet was doing the video analytics. And so, you know, that was a real team effort. And, you know, I was just, again, there as a little piece and using it to build with our 18s. And, you know, to build on the Chicago connection, you know, with the Loonies, I have, you know, Matt Wagner as the head coach of the Loonies. And I'm just there to assist him. And, you know, we help each other grow. But yeah, 2023 was just one of those years that everything kind of seemed to work. And, you know, again, I think like a lot of coaches, now we try to figure out how do you do it again and what can we do better? And, you know, if we are going back to New Zealand for World Schools, which, as you mentioned, you know, there's 8 teams that make it to a quarterfinal. 5 of them were New Zealand teams. There was an Australian team, a Fijian team, and our boys. So our boys showed that they can compete. And, you know, my ask coming out of it is that we have more of those opportunities. So we'd like to move our selection camp earlier in the year. Maybe there's an opportunity to tie it into some of those opportunities with our U23s. Maybe it's at Rugby Town. Maybe it's somewhere else. But again, expose those guys to more tournaments. This upcoming weekend, I'll be out at the Urban Schools Championship. So hopefully I can attend more events and find more players, because I think that's something that we need to do, is just, you know, cast that net far and wide and find more guys that eventually can matriculate up and you know, get into those Eagle squads and All-American squads and those types of things.
Well, I don't think it can be understated what you were able to accomplish with that group of boys at the World Schools Championships. So for folks that don't know, you know, Dave had this vision of making this happen, bring those guys together. I can't tell you how many tournaments that, as Dave and I talked about, and he knows them all, I don't, that he attended sevens tournaments to mine our country for the right talent to bring the best squad available, regardless of financial background for those kids. And then it was about when he brought the idea forward, it was, hey, Ross, I need money to do this. And he goes, oh, you're going to have to find it. Dave went out and found that too, found a number of benefactors to make it happen so that we can put the best talented players out there and not the best talented players who could afford to go, right? Which I think is critical. That's one of the things that we need to, as a country and as a rugby playing public, need to get over, as if we want to move forward to get the best athletes involved. But I want to talk a little bit as we go up to those senior levels. USA had a strong showing in the Vancouver, placing 4th, and in LA winning the pool, but, you know, ultimately finishing 7th. They frequently show stretches that they can play with the big dogs. So can we take the next step and win, you know, multiple tournaments, or place, you know, in the top 3 in multiple tournaments in a row?
I mean, I think we can. I think it's about consistency. And, you know, if you look throughout the 7 series, it's ruthless. It's brutal. You know, this past weekend, who saw Spain, you know, knocking off the, you know, perennial contenders and making it to the semifinals? You know, Antoine Dupont is obviously kickstarting France, you know, and setting them off in the right direction as they head to Paris. So, you know, I think there's been so much unpredictability, which just shows how competitive and how ruthless, you know, a game can be. You know, a point here, a point there, you know, makes a big difference. And those aren't just points, those are plays. And then as you start thinking about the points, now with Great Britain making it to a final, you know, our USA men's team, they have to regroup and focus on the points because they've got to stay in the top eight. They've got two tournaments left in Hong Kong and Singapore, and they've shown that they can compete with the big boys. It's just a matter about consistency, and I think they were trending in the right direction going into Vancouver, and that's all you can ask throughout the year is they want to keep stepping in that right direction, especially as they look to Paris. And then you flip it over on the women's side, and wow, they're right there. You know, they lost to Australia on the last play of the game in their third, fourth place match. But again, if Australia is a gold medal contending team, you know, Emily showed that they're right there. Lona Mar had a great weekend. Kayla Kinnett had a great weekend. I love, you know, what they're doing, bringing Alev Kelter off the bench. So our USA women look strong. There's a great video out there called The High Women. If you haven't seen it, it's on YouTube. I highly recommend taking a look at it. Hopefully I'm not releasing anything. It's on YouTube, so I think it's findable. I'm not letting anything out of the bag. But our women are doing great things as they're getting ready for Paris here. And our men, I do think, can find the consistency. But right now, I believe they're, you know, just ahead of Great Britain in that eighth, ninth spot. And that's the one that we've got to look at with the new structure. You know, if you're not aware, it's a winner-take-all in Madrid. So they'll use the points throughout the year. And again, with two tournaments left in Hong Kong and Singapore, and then use those top eight for seedings, you know, and then obviously a relegation for 9 through 12. And, you know, that's not where we want to be. And we're sitting in eighth place. So, you know, two good finishes, and we'll stay above that bar and look to Madrid.
Yeah, that's, I think that's a really important bar to set. We want to be in the mix, both in the women's and the men's side, in that top eight, so that we can, you know, not have to worry about relegation, not have to worry about, you know, trying to qualify for the remaining spots, but we can just, you know, hone in on what we want to do well, how we want to play our structures, and get ready for that tournament. And maybe allow our athletes to relax a little bit and have fun and get their names out there. Iona does such a great job herself, you know, raising the level of visibility of the sport, especially for women, which I think is critical. And, you know, if our players have a little bit more relaxed atmosphere, they're not so wound up about, you know, qualifying, maybe they can do a bit more of that and really get people's attention about rugby. But let's talk about, you mentioned Antoine DuPont, but also Sophie DeGoody on the women's side, switching from 15s over to sevens, you know, in preparation with an eye on the Olympics. So let's talk our national team. You know, our 15s and sevens programs are supported through different funding methods. I don't know that most of our public understands this. And neither of these funding methods are guaranteed. So should these programs be streamlined and brought together to make a more unified effort as a rugby playing nation?
I mean, I think, you know, the short answer is probably yes. I mean, you see Anton DuPont, you know, we were maybe going to see Michael Hooper make an appearance this weekend for Australia. And I think what you're hearing is that, well, what's most important? And right now, I think the Olympics, you know, coming up this summer in 2024 is important. And so to be able to capture an audience and bring over some of those superstars, you know, I think is important for France. It is important for Australia. So could we also benefit from that? I think absolutely. You know, we've had players who've done both. You know, David Still, who was recently with our sevens program, is now, you know, with the Anthem. Danny Barrett, who's doing a great job with the Golden Eagles, who have supported, you know, our youth programs along the way, you know, has played both sevens and 15s. And so I think, you know, on that question, what's most important for us? You know, I'm not the new CEO of USA Rugby. But I think that's Bill Gorin's, you know, new job is to kind of identify how do we, you know, grow the game here. And I think there is a window between Paris and LA to capture an American audience through sevens. And then post LA from 28 to 31, you know, as we build to that World Cup. And so, you know, again, for me, if it's, you know, how do we do that? And we can share some of the resources from sevens and 15s and take the best of both worlds and move it forward. If that's what's going to get us a gold medal, that's what I want, you know? So I want gold medals. I want our teams to do better. And if we can share those resources, I think it could make sense.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of sensibility to that in seeking out a way to raise the visibility. I spoke to it earlier. I mean, the Olympics obviously captures attention. It captures interest. There isn't so much money at stake there for individuals. It's national glory, right? And there's an attraction to that. If we can make that something possible for our potential athletes down the road and raise that visibility, they'll look at that as a roadmap to getting a gold medal and being in the sport. I want to turn our attention a little bit to LA Sevens. We spoke to it earlier. As a rugby watching public, we are in a unique space where there is overlap in the same weekend. The U.S. was hosting the L.A. leg of the HSBC Sevens this past weekend as of this recording. And Rugby FC Los Angeles opened at home. So the question is, what are your thoughts about bringing these two events together?
Now, don't forget, they had a rugby league event in Vegas that was, very well attended. I think our rugby calendar is one that we have to fix. I've mentioned Bill Gorin's name, and, I had a chance to see him this weekend out in L.A. I don't envy, some of that task. I think we've got to try to get the right people in the room. One of my new titles is a USA Club Sevens commissioner, and what I'd like to do is try and figure out how can we help align, the vision from top down from the national teams, maybe with PR Sevens and into the club game. So, we're all fighting the same calendar. We all want events to be good. We've got to figure out a way to support each other. But I think it's going to take getting all the people in the room because there are different agendas. And there are different calendars to focus on. And so I think, again, we've got to get the right people in the room and kind of identify what are the best events, what do we want to do, and then how do we work backwards? Because I can't imagine the logistical challenges of pulling off some of these events. Not only if it's one event, but in a PR7 stake where it's five events. And so, you're coordinating five venues and five sets of logistics and five separate calendar dates that have to then align with USA Rugby and, what we're doing on the 15 side and what we're doing on the seven side and what we're doing on the men's side and what we're doing on the women's side. And so, the calendar is something that we've got to fix. We've got to get the right people in the room. And I think it is a tough job. But I think, you're probably not going to make everybody happy. But if we can all agree it's, in the best direction to grow the game and move it in the right direction, I think that's, kind of what we have to do, but it's a challenge, without a doubt.
Yeah. And we're going to continue that. I want to pick up some of those pieces that you discussed in that question, but I want to first take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors. All right, we're back. And I want to pick up on one of those elements or a couple of those themes that Dave was just talking about in the last question. He talked about pulling off events, and he also spoke to one of his new titles in which essentially as the USA Rugby Club Sevens chair, he's going to be responsible for pulling off the national championship event. So Wisconsin was a great event last summer. I was there. My wife and I enjoyed it. And I know you enjoyed it. You had a great campaign with the Lions women, but how can we take that up a notch?
Yeah, I think, it was one of the more, job ones was to find a venue. Lucky for me or unlucky was that it was already established. So they decided before I came into place to bring it back to Madison. And as you mentioned, it was a great venue. So, what Brad Dufek does up there, it does a great job. It's great fields. Ryan Ginty did a great job on the production side. And I think last year we didn't know any of this until May. So, we only had 2 months, 3 months to pull off the event. Well, now that we know in March ahead of time, hopefully we can allow teams to plan for it. Which hopefully will bring down the costs. And knowing that we have a longer runway, maybe we can go out and find some sponsorship to make the event better, a better fan experience, a better player experience, And again, if we can lower those costs, I think, you know, all the teams would be all for that. And again, just knowing now that it's months ahead of time, teams can start to plan and prepare for that a little bit better.
Yeah, Philip Coopens did a great job preparing, and obviously you talk about Brad and his involvement. He did a wonderful job. That venue is awesome. And what I loved about the whole experience was that it was indeed a USA club that was a beneficiary, even though it's a, I think it's a publicly owned complex. The club was there. It's a club we've all played against here in the Midwest, and it's great to see it them be the beneficiaries. So we spoke earlier to the window, this summer window that Club Rugby Sevens National Championship has to be fit into. So between the MLR international window, PR7s, we spoke about Club Rugby Sevens. How do we manage the calendar? So let's be more specific. How do we manage the calendar for our small U.S. public who consumes all these and our player pool who has to fill the spots to make this exciting rugby action happen?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it's tough. You know, I think based on history, we've had kind of a summer sevens, right? Teams come out of their colleges. Some of the college players go join the men's club game. Or the women's club game, so to speak. And I think it's the club sevens has a strong history where, you know, I remember as a player playing against Ombak, and they had Jason Raven, Dave DeSorbo, Malachi Delai, and all those names that I'm mentioning were Eagles. So the club sevens has a history of, you know, of all of those guys playing and those athletes playing, and it was an honor to compete against them, and it showed if you had, you know, the gusto to make it at that next level. You know, you also have stories like Perry Baker being able to play for Scioto Valley and then end up in Chula Vista, and then now he's, you know, the second all-time, you know, leading try scorer on the circuit. So, you know, that's I think the interesting piece of club sevens. But now we have the MLR, and so we have more of a professional game, you know, which is establishing a calendar here in the spring and throughout the summer. And so, you know, I think, you know, legacy events, you know, legacy planning, things that people have built around for a long time can help. And that's what I think, you know, these sevens people have done, or the sevens groups have done. Club sevens tends to always be that first weekend in August. You know, the weekend after, or 2 weekends after, is usually Rugby Town Sevens. And now I believe PR Sevens is going to, you know, postpone their season a little bit post the Olympics as well to make for a better event and have all the marquee players playing. So, you know, maybe postponing Sevens a little bit into that fall window could help. And we'll see how that all plays out. But again, it's not an easy task to try and get it done. And as you mentioned, you know, we have the, you know, MLR now going, you know, into July as well, too.
Yeah, let's speak to that a little bit, and not just about the final being, I think it's now the 4th is the official day, 4th of August. But let's more specifically look at that tie between the MLR, USA Rugby, and now we know World Rugby. Yeah. The Anthem RC, so Anthem Rugby Charlotte, is now an established team in the MLR. Just recently having lost on the weekend to last year's MLR Shield champion, New England, took a little bit of a hiding, but showed flashes. Is Anthem RC the pathway that we need to move our 15s program to success for 2031 down the road?
Again, I think the short answer is yes, right? We, you know, if people were to ask, what does our national team need? We need American athletes training together, playing together, getting quality minutes against quality competition. So from that aspect, we can check all of those boxes. And I think, you know, what we have to say is you've got to start somewhere. And we've started. So, you know, I'm a big believer in a lot of what Scott Lawrence has produced. It's not going to happen overnight, and we know that. But, you know, World Rugby is putting their money where their mouth is as well. You know, they have a big investment coming in 2031, and, you know, our national team, you know, doing better is only going to help that. So, you know, having a place now where we can have our American athletes go and do those things that I mentioned, from, you know, a quality training environment. You know, I believe there's also going to be an academy set up there so we can field younger athletes. you know, guys that I see at the, you know, U18s level, you know, they'll have college accreditation there. And a way, again, to get that high performance environment, get our young American athletes training together, playing together, competing against, you know, quality opposition, getting high level minutes, and the good ones will stay. And year after year, it's going to get better. And so right now it's 2024. I think it's a very different team and a very different conversation as we're looking at 2027 and, you know, hopefully getting into those quarters.
You know, it's funny you say that, because I think one of the most understated elements of that Anthem setup, and I say it's, you know, it's in its infancy, in spite of the fact they had to put boots on the pitch in a very short amount of time. But I just want to tell people, I don't think what they understand is that down the road, as you talk about this evolution and how this, we might see this grow and evolve, that we could very well see, folks, that gap between high school and the MLR be very well filled by something like the Anthem, in the sense that, you know, UNC Charlotte is right there. We could very well see guys be brought into that camp as 18 and 19 year olds and go take classes while they're playing rugby and training in that environment and developing. So at yet working on their education, rather than going through the traditional college method, which tends to be the popular method. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but this is much more what we might see in the European models. Right. And we know what kind of success that brings.
Well, and I think of it, you know, with the U18s that just came back from New Zealand, you know, it was a great opportunity. It was a great exposure. But for the majority of those kids, you know, I'd hate to say that they all go into, you know, very high performing environments that's going to benefit them over the next 4 years. Right. And so that's where they need to be stuck in, you know, day in, day out. And for a lot of these guys, they're not, you know, they may go back to a college team where they're the, you know, the captain, the coach, and, you know, they may not, you know, have someone, you know, looking over their shoulder in the weight room or, you know, in the dining hall, you know, with their eating habits and those types of things. And, you know, that's where you've got to be better.
Oh, most certainly. I want to go back to something else you mentioned, Dave. You were talking about, you know, kind of a long-term plan, a long-term development for Anthem. So let's get to that a little bit. What is, we talk about KPIs, you know, in the sports world so much, key performance indicators, right? How do you measure, what are the key indicators by which you measure growth and development of whatever it is you do, whether it's a particular game, whether it's a particular week, whether it's a month, whether it's a season, et cetera. So what is the measurement for success of Anthem RC?
It won't be wins and losses, right? I mean, I think they'll suffer their lumps, and you know, I guarantee you, they're not looking at wins and losses. You know, they're going to be looking at attitudes. They're going to be looking at seeing how guys compete. You know, how competitive they are in certain, you know, areas of the game, at the breakdown. You know, in areas of defense. You know, how they are in their exits. You know, so they're going to measure it. They're going to measure it, and they're going to improve upon all of those areas. So I think, you know, that's what they're going to look at, is just improvement across the board. You know, they're not going to want to win. You know, I don't think anybody's going to expect them to be in the playoffs or pursuing a championship this year, or maybe next. But again, just, you know, quality little improvements, you know, handling errors, you know, times of possession, you know, tackles missed, territory, you know, all of those individual metrics of the game, they're going to want to improve upon. And I think, you know, you're going to see that. And, you know, if they can do that, you know, I think that they will compete, you know, in those next 3-4 years.
And compete is a great, or an operative term, because we know that's one of the things that Scott Lawrence did with this, with his most recent development of the Eagles, that is continuing, where, you know, he's earned the right to be not just the interim, but the head coach. But, you know, he was looking for guys that wanted to compete, that would compete every single day, every single practice for a spot, not just somebody who felt that they earned it. So, you know, that theme, that idea, that mantra, I think is going to resonate inside this group. And it's going to be great to see what happens over the course of the next couple seasons.
Yeah, I think they're setting a platform, right? And Scott's probably bringing in the right characters, too. Guys who can, you know, remember the legacy, you know, remember the guys who worn the jersey, you know, what it means, and what, you know, bringing rugby into the mainstream of American culture would be, you know, I thought, you know, walking off the field 20 years ago that we would have been a little bit further along. But the fact is we're not. And this is now the opportunity for these guys. And I think that, you know, very patriotic mantra, you know, they're instilling there. And again, I think they're going to get those themes down. They're going to get that message down. And if they can do that, the rugby on the field is going to follow.
You know, 100% agreement there. And here we are at the last question. And this is a question I know you and I have had a lot of conversations about over the last probably 3 or 4 years in particular. And it's one of the struggles, one of the hurdles. I think we'd both agree on that, that the USA rugby community has to try to figure out how to overcome. So I'm not sure I expect a magic here, Dave, but I think we need to educate people a little bit because it's an undersold challenge. The USA rugby community's eternal challenge is this: seasonality and geography. These are issues that other rugby playing nations don't have. Because of their size, they don't cover, you know, we don't have right now, it's, you know, it's snowing, you know, in parts of the country. And yet then we have, you know, down south, it was 70 and, you know, beautiful and sometimes rainy, like we saw in Miami. So is there a pathway to overcome these two challenges in your mind?
Well, I think there's two separate ones. So I'll touch on the geography or, you know, the regionality. You know, I think, you know, myself as a coach, I could say it. And I think, you know, we probably know this. We miss kids. We're not finding all of the kids and they're slipping through the cracks just because our country is so big. I would love to see some type of regional development structure. You know, I think a lot of people would agree that the ITTs are kind of, you know, the regionality of our country, you know, can be divided. And, you know, why can't the Northeast and the South and the Midwest and, you know, the Pacific Northwest, why can't we go to each region and say, hey, identify your top 20 players and not only your players, but your top five coaches, your top five referees. We need that funnel to be bigger. I see it, you know, within the academy structure. You know, some of these academies are, you know, fielding the rosters, but it's a lot of the same players. So we need a wider player pool. You know, it's some of the reason we can't have alignment with, you know, professional events and non-professional events, because, you know, some of these players and coaches are wearing two hats, you know, and then they have to pick and choose of, do I go support my club or, you know, can I go do this other event potentially? And, you know, we're still in that infancy of professionalism. So, you know, again, I think, you know, if we can regionalize our country and set up a stronger regional support network, I think that's going to help, again, not just from the playing aspect, from coaching and refereeing, because our country is just too big. And to have one person try and fly all over, like I mentioned, it just makes it very difficult. And I know we're missing out. And then I think the other part is just, you know, the calendar. You know, you talked about seasonality and you know, yes, there are seasonal constraints, but I think there's ways around it. You know, maybe some teams will be inconvenienced earlier or later in a year, but I think there is a way to do it. But it's going to take getting all the smart heads in the room together. Again, I don't envy, you know, Bill Gorin. I wish him the best of luck as he takes on the new USA Rugby CEO role, because there's massive opportunity here. We all know that. We all know we're the sleeping giant, so to speak. We all know what's to come, both in 28 and then 31. And so the opportunity is real. It's why we're seeing a lot of investment, both from, you know, private, you know, groups in the MLR, with PR7s, as well as World Rugby, you know, getting behind the anthem here. And so, you know, there is real opportunity here. We all know that, and we just got to get it aligned. And if we can do that, then, you know, watch out.
How tired are you of that sleeping giant moniker, by the way?
Oh, it drives me nuts. It drives me nuts, but I thought it was, you know, maybe fitting for the show. But yeah, I mean, we've got to wake that guy up, you know, and at the end of the day, right. I heard it when I was playing. But the reality again is that, you know, there is two massive events coming, you know, in the 28 Olympics, which I think can, again, capture our country. You know, God forbid our men and women, you know, medal, right? What is that story coming out of Paris? You know, if our women, you know, win a silver medal, win a gold medal, could they be the Mia Hams, you know, that really, you know, launch a next generation of you know, sport here in our country? And I think, you know, I don't say that, you know, lightheartedly. I mean, I think they do have that opportunity to do that, you know, with a medal. And so, you know, Americans love gold medals. Everyone gets behind the Olympics, even if they may not know that much about rugby. So over these next 4 years, you know, if we can do something, you know, strong in Paris, build on that story, get people interested in rugby. And then, hey, not only are we winning medals, we've got this massive World Cup coming and we've got professional leagues, both, you know, in the MLR and, you know, you even have the Raptors down in Super Rugby Americas, you know, if they continue to do that and, you know, Owen Scannell doing stuff with PR sevens, you know, again, I think there's a lot of opportunity here. You know, but we've got to, you know, start rowing in the same direction. And it's why, you know, I continue to stay involved in all these different areas.
100%. Well, I know you've got to run, folks. This guy, again, the busiest man on the planet with respect to rugby, he's got a call coming up here, but and shockingly, about rugby.
My first USA Club Sevens call.
There you go. And so we're looking forward to hearing more about that event. Maybe we can bring you on and you can talk a bit about it and just share some of the great things that are planned, but it can be a great event. It's at a great venue. If you folks live in the Midwest, take an opportunity to visit, you know, one of the preeminent club events and club locations in the United States. I promise you, you won't be disappointed. If you build it, they will come, and they built one hell of a venue, and it came last year, and it will come again this summer, and it'll be a lot of fun, Dave. I can't wait to see what kind of event.
And hey, I'm open to ideas. If any of us have ideas, you know, we've got a longer runway. You know, I want to make the event better, so. You know, again, I don't say that lightheartedly. I'm all ears. You know, if someone's got some ideas to make these events better, to make rugby in our country better, I'm all for it.
Tent with a band and, you know, maybe some adult beverages.
Maybe you can do the commentating.
Oh, well, you got to allow me the opportunity to practice. So anyway. Thanks again, mate. It was wonderful catching up with you. I think a lot of people learned quite a bit about where we are, where we're heading, where we need to go. And with people like you being involved, I can't help but thinking that we are headed in the right direction. And you're just the guy that can take us there in many respects. So thanks for all that you do. And thank your lovely family for giving us a part and a piece of you along the way.
They need it, because like I said, I'm off to DC this weekend, but if I can, I'm looking forward to that tournament. Kevin Battle's doing great things. Again, Urban City Schools, I mean, it's their third year, so I think, you know, we're going to see some great athletes out there. But yeah, luckily my wife and kids allow me to do it, so I think I have 4 days home and another plane. So,
well, enjoy.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
For reminding her.
Yeah. Well, she doesn't watch this show. There's only about two people that do. So anyway, but thanks, man. I appreciate it. Safe travels. Tell Kevin good luck on the event. I hope it's an absolute screamer. And we'll look forward to catching up with you, you know, here when you get back at some point.
I'm sure I'll see you on the sidelines in Chicago.
All right, brother. We'll see you. Take care. And this is the Rugby Rant. You just heard it. David Fee joining us, talking a little bit about, you know, rugby in the United States. And we want to thank our partners at Rugby Now, who power Shop MLR. If you folks haven't gotten an opportunity, they are bringing MLR kit, new MLR Kappa kit to their store. Hounds just dropped, NOLA dropped, Free Jacks dropped a while back, Houston dropped. I mean, it's all coming in. And I would just say size up in the jerseys, the hoodies. Size up too. So just for comparison, I wore an XL in the Paladin hoodie. I'd wear a double X in the Kappa. I wear a double X in the Paladin jersey. I would size up in the, I'd go to 3X in the Kappa. So yeah, just be advised. You probably need to size up.
That's good intel. And that's like the credits, like addition. If you listen to the additional credits, you get the good stuff.
Right. Yeah, you get the good stuff. So, you know, I just ask my wife. I leave the good stuff for the end. Anyway, all right, brother. I'll talk to you later. Good luck on the call. It's a pleasure catching up.
Thanks,
and Rob. We will see you folks next week. Stan Vanderhoven from the Miami Shark is coming with us. I get an exclusive. I'll be back. We'll be right back.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.